Chatterbox Audio Theater presents Rikki Tikki Tavi by Rudyard Kipling. Performed live at the Memphis Children's Theater Festival on May 24th, 2008!
This is the story of the Great War!
This is the story of the great war that Rikki Tikki Tavi fought single-handed through the bathrooms of the big bungalow in Seagalee in India.
Darcy, the tailor bird, helped him.
And Chatunga the muskrat, who never comes out into the middle of the floor, but always creeps round by the wall, gave him advice.
But Rikki Tikki did the real fighting. I am a mongoose.
Rather like a little cat in his fur and in his tail.
But quite like a weasel in his head and his habits.
He has eyes, and the end of his restless little nose are pink.
And I can scratch myself anywhere I please with any leg, front, or back that I choose to use. And I can fluff up my tail so it looks like a bottle brush.
And his war cry is...
Rick-tick-ticky-ticky-chick! One day, a high summer flood washed him out of the burrow where he lived with his father and mother and carried him kinking and clucking down a roadside ditch. He found a little wisp of grass floating there and clung to it till he lost his senses. When he revived, he was lying in the hot sun on the middle of a garden path, very draggled indeed.
Here's a dead mongoose. Let's have a funeral.
No, said his mother. Let's take him in and dry him. Perhaps he isn't really dead.
A big man picked him up between his finger and thumb and said he was not dead, but half choked.
So they wrapped him in cotton wool and warmed him.
And he opened his eyes and...
Choo! Sneezed.
Now, said the big man, he was an Englishman who had just moved into the bungalow.
With his wife, Alice, and their son,
Teddy.
Don't frighten him, and we'll see what he'll do.
It is the hardest thing in the world to frighten a mongoose, because he is eaten up from the nose to tail with curiosity. The motto of the mongoose family is,
Run and find out!
And Rikki Tikki was a true mongoose.
He looked at the cotton wool,
decided it was not very good to eat.
I say, he ran all around the table, and will you look at that? He sat up and put his fur in order.
And scratched himself.
Ah! He jumped on the small boy's shoulder.
Oh, no, don't be frightened, Teddy. Now that's his way of making friends.
Oh, he's tickling under my chin.
Good gracious, and that's a wild creature? I suppose he's so tame because we've been so kind to him.
All mongooses are like that. Now, if Teddy doesn't pick him up by the tail or try to put him in a cage, he'll run in and out of the house all day long. Oh, let's give him something to eat.
They gave him a little piece of raw meat.
Rikki Tikki liked it immensely. There are more things to find out about in this house than all my family could find out in all their lives. I shall certainly stay and find out.
He spent all that day roaming all the house.
He nearly drowned himself in the bathtub.
Whoa!
He put his nose into the ink on a writing table and burnt it on the end of the big man's cigar.
Before he climbed up into the big man's lap to see how writing was done.
Teddy, time for bed.
At nightfall, he ran into Teddy's nursery to watch how kerosene lamps were lighted.
And when Teddy went to bed, Rikki Tikki climbed up too. But he was a restless companion.
Because he had to get up and attend to every noise all through the night and find out what made it.
James, come quickly. The mongoose is sitting on Teddy's pillow. I don't like that. He may bite the child.
He'll do no such thing. Teddy's safer with that little beast than if he had a bloodhound to watch him. Why, if a snake came into the nursery now...
No, James, I refuse to think of anything so awful.
Mm. early in the morning, Rikki Tikki came to early breakfast at the veranda.
Riding on Teddy's shoulder.
And they gave him banana.
And some boiled egg.
And he sat on their laps one after the other. Then, Rikki Tikki went out into the garden to see what was to be seen. It was a large garden, only half cultivated, with bushes as big as big summer houses of Marshall Neal roses, lime and orange trees, clumps of bamboo, and thickets of high grass. Rikki Tikki licked his lips. "This is a splendid hunting ground," he said, and his tail grew all bottle brushy at the thought of it. And he scuttled up and down the garden, snuffling here and there, till he heard very sorrowful voices in the thorn bush.
It was Darcy, the tailor bird.
And his wife.
They had made a beautiful nest by pulling two big leaves together and stitching them up the edges with fiber.
And had filled the hollow with cotton and downy fluff.
The nest swayed to and fro.
As they sat on the rim and cried.
What's the matter?
Oh, we are very miserable.
One of our babies fell out of the nest yesterday and... Nog ate him!
said Rikki Tikki, that's very sad, but I'm a stranger here. Who is Nog?
Darcy and his wife only cowered down in the nest without answering.
For from the thick grass at the foot of the bush, there came a low hiss.
A horrid, cold sound that made Rikki Tikki jump back 2 clear feet.
Then, inch by inch, out of the grass rose the head and spread hood of Nog, the big black cobra. And he was 5 feet long from tongue to tail. He swayed, balancing to and fro, exactly as a dandelion tuft balances in the wind. And he looked at Rikki Tikki with the wicked snake's eyes that never change their expression, no matter what the snake may be thinking of. Who is Nog? I am Nog. The great god Brahm put his mark upon all of our people when the first cobra spread his hood to keep the sun off of Brahm while he slept. Look and be afraid. And Nog spread out his hood more than ever.
And Rikki Tikki saw the spectacle mark on the back that looks exactly like the eye part of a hook and eye fastening. And he was afraid for a minute. But it is impossible for a mongoose to stay frightened for any length of time. And though Rikki Tikki had never met a live cobra before, his mother had fed him on dead ones. And he knew that all a grown mongoose's life was to fight and eat snakes.
Nog knew this too. And at the bottom of his cold heart, he was afraid.
Well, said Rikki Tikki, and his tail began to flop up again. Marks or no marks, do you think it's right for you to eat fledglings out of the nest?
Nog was thinking to himself and watching the least little movement in the grass behind Rikki Tikki. He knew that mongooses in the garden meant death for him and his family sooner or later, but he wanted to catch Rikki Tikki off his guard. So he lowered his head a little, and he put it to one side. You eat eggs, Why should not I eat birds,
Behind you! Look behind you!
And Rikki jumped up in the air as high as he could go!
And just under him whizzed by the head of Nagina, Nog's wicked wife. She had crept up behind him as he was talking
to make an end of him!
He heard her savage hiss as a stroke missed. He came down
almost across her back, and if he had been an old mongoose,
he would have known that then was the time to break her back with one bite.
But he was afraid of the terrible crushing return stroke of the cobra.
He bit.
Indeed, but he did not bite long enough.
And he jumped back, clear of the whisking tail, leaving Nagina torn
and angry.
Wicked, wicked. wicked Darzi and silly, silly wife, said Nog, lashing up as high as he could to reach toward the nest in the thorn bush.
But Darzi had built it out of the reach of snakes, and it only swayed to and fro.
Rikki Tikki felt his eyes growing red and hot. When a mongoose's eyes grow red, he is angry. And he sat back on his tail and hind legs
like a little kangaroo
and looked all around him and chattered with rage.
But Nog and Nagina had already disappeared into the grass. When a snake misses its stroke,
it never says anything or gives any sign of what it means to do next.
Rikki Tikki did not care to follow them, for he did not feel sure that he could manage two snakes at once. So he trotted off to the gravel path near the house and sat down to think. It was a serious matter for him.
When Teddy came running down the path,
Rikki Tikki was ready to be petted.
But just as Teddy was stooping,
something wriggled a little in the dust, and a tiny voice said, "Be careful, I am death." It was Krait, the dusty brown snakeling that lies for choice on the dusty earth. And his bite is as dangerous as the cobra's. But he is so small that nobody thinks of him, and so he does the more harm to people.
Rikki Tikki's eyes grew red again, and he danced up to Krait with a peculiar rocking, swaying motion that he had inherited from his family.
It looks very funny.
But it is so perfectly balanced a gait that you can fly off from any angle you please. And in dealing with snakes, this is an advantage.
If Rikki Tikki had only known, he was doing a much more dangerous thing than fighting Nog. For Krait is so small and can turn so quickly that unless Rikki bit him close to the back of the head, he would get the return stroke in his eye or lip. But Rikki did not know.
His eyes were all red, and he rocked back and forth for a good place to hold.
Krait struck out.
Rikki jumped sideways and tried to run in.
But the wicked little dusty gray head lashed within a fraction of his shoulder.
And he had to jump over the body, and the head followed the heels close.
Oh, look there! Our mongoose is killing a snake!
And Rikki Tikki heard the scream from Teddy's mother.
His father ran out with a stick.
But by the time he came up, Krait had lunged out once too far.
Rikki Tikki had sprung, jumped on the snake's back, dropped his head far between the forelegs, bitten high up on the back as he could get a hold.
That bite paralyzed Krait.
And Rikki Tikki was just gonna eat him up from the tail, after the custom of his family at dinner, when he remembered that a full meal makes a slow mongoose, and if he wanted all his strength and quickness ready, he must keep himself thin. So he went away for a dust bath under the castor oil bushes.
While Teddy's father beat the dead Krait.
What was the use of that, thought Rikki. I've settled it all.
And then Teddy's mother picked him up from the dust and hugged him, crying that he had saved Teddy from death.
Teddy's mongoose is a providence.
And Teddy looked on with big, scared eyes.
Rikki Tikki was rather amused at all the fuss, which of course he did not understand. Teddy's mother might just as well petted Teddy for playing in the dust. Rikki was thoroughly enjoying himself.
That night, at dinner, walking to and fro among the wine glasses on the table,
he could have stuffed himself three times over with nice things, but he remembered Nog and Nagina.
And though it was very pleasant to be patted and petted by Teddy's mother,
and to sit on Teddy's shoulder,
his eyes would get red from time to time, and he would go off into his long war cry of Rikki-Tikki-Tikki-Tikki-Tick!
Teddy carried him off to bed and insisted on Rikki Tikki sleeping under his chin.
Rikki Tikki was too well bred to bite or scratch, but as soon as Teddy was asleep, he went off for his nightly walk around the house.
Chuchundra the muskrat was creeping around by the wall. Chuchundra is a broken-hearted little beast. He whimpers and cheeps all the night, trying to make up his mind to run out in the middle of the room. But he never gets there.
Oh!
Don't kill me, said Chuchundra, almost weeping. Rikki Tikki, don't kill me.
Do you think a snake killer kills muskrats?
Said Rikki Tikki scornfully. Those who kill snakes get killed by snakes, said Chandra, more sorrowfully than ever. And how am I to be sure that Nog won't mistake me for you some dark night?
There's not the least danger of that, for Nog is in the garden, and I know you don't go there.
My cousin Chua the Rat told me...
said Chua Chandra, and then he stopped, told you what?
Shh! Nog is everywhere, Rikki Tikki. You should have talked to Chua in the garden.
I didn't, so you must tell me quick, Chua Chandra, or I'll bite you.
Chandra sat down and cried.
Till tears rolled off his whiskers.
I am a very poor man.
He sobbed.
And I never had spirit enough to run out into the middle of the room. Shh! I mustn't tell you anything. Can't you hear, Rikki Tikki?
Rikki Tikki listened. The house was as still as still, but he thought he could just catch
the faintest scratch, scratch in the world. A noise as faint as that of a wasp on a window pane.
The dry scratch of a snake's scales on brickwork.
That's Nog. Or Nagina. And he's crawling into the bathroom, sluice. Right, Chuchandra.
You should have talked to Chua.
Rikki stole off to Teddy's bathroom.
But there was nothing there.
And then to Teddy's mother's bathroom. Oh, and at the bottom of the smooth plaster wall, there was a brick pulled out to make a sluice for the bathwater. And as Rikki Tikki stole in by the masonry curb where the bath is put, he heard...
Nog and Nagina whispering together outside in the moonlight.
When the house is emptied of people, he will have to go away. And then the garden will be our own again. Go in, quietly. And remember, the big man that killed Kurait is the first one to bite. Then come out and tell me, and we will hunt for Rikki Tikki together.
But are you sure that there is anything to be gained by killing the people?
Everything! When there were no people in the bungalow, did we have any mongoose in the garden? So long as the bungalow is empty, we are king and queen of the garden. And remember that as soon as our eggs in the melon bed hatch, as they may tomorrow, our children will need room and quiet.
Yes, I had not thought of that.
No.
I will go, but there is no need that we should hunt for Rikki Tikki afterwards. I will bite the big man and his wife. Ooh. And the child if I can and come away quietly. Once the bungalow is empty, Rikki Tikki will go.
Rikki Tikki tingled all over with rage and hatred at this. And then
Nog's head came in through the sluice. His 5 feet of cold body followed it.
Angry as he was, Rikki Tikki was very frightened as he saw the size of the big cobra.
Nog coiled himself up, raised his head, and looked in the bathroom through the dark.
Now, if I kill him here, Nagina will know. And if I find him on the open floor, the odds are in his favor. What am I to do?
Nog waved to and fro.
And then Rikki could hear him drinking from the biggest water jar that was used to fill the bath.
Yes, that is good. Now, when little Kurait was killed, the big man had a stick. He may have that stick still. But when he comes to bathe in the morning, he will have no stick. Yes, I shall wait here until he comes. Do you hear me, Nagina? I shall wait here in the cool until daytime. Nagina? Nagina? Nagina!
There was no answer from outside, so Rikki Tikki knew Nagina was far away.
Nog slipped in and coiled himself, coil by coil, around the bulge at the bottom of the water jar.
And Rikki Tikki stayed still as death. Ooh! Whoa! Shh, be quiet, there's a snake in here. He began to move, muscle by muscle, toward the jar.
Nog was asleep, and Rikki Tikki looked at his big back, wondering which would be the best place to get a good hold. Oh, if I don't break his back at the first jump, he can still fight! And if he fights... Oh, Rikki! He looked at the thickness of the neck below the hood, but that was too much for him, and a bite near the tail would only make Nog savage. It must be the head above the hood. And when I am once there, I must not let go. Then he jumped! Rikki braced his back against the bulge of the red earthenware to hold on down the head. This gave him just the 1 second's purchase. He made the most of it.
Ah, then he was battered to and fro as a rat is shaken by a dog.
To and fro to the floor.
Up and down and round in great circles.
But his eyes were red, and he held on.
As his body cart-whipped over the floor.
Upsetting the dipper and the soap dish and the flesh brush.
And banged against the tin side of the bath.
The measure, Nog.
This shall end when one is dead.
At my pleasure, Nog.
Turn for turn and twist for twist.
Run and hide thee, Nog.
Ha! The hooded death has missed.
Woe betide thee, Nog. As he held on, he closed his jaws tighter and tighter, for he made sure he would be banged to death, and for the honor of his family, he preferred to be found with his teeth locked. He was dizzy, aching, and he felt shaken to pieces.
Something went off like a thunderclap just behind him.
A hot wind knocked him senseless, and the red fire singed his fur.
The big man had been wakened by the noise and had fired both barrels of a shotgun into Nog just behind the hood.
Rikki held on with his eyes shut, for now he was quite sure he was dead. The head did not move.
It's the mongoose again, Alice. The little chap has saved our lives now.
Rikki Tikki dragged himself to Teddy's bedroom and spent half the rest of the night shaking himself tenderly to find out what was really broken into 40 pieces, as he'd fancied. Now I have Nagina to settle with.
And she will be worse than five Nogs.
There's no knowing when the egg she spoke of would hatch. Oh, goodness. I must go and see Darzee. Without waiting for breakfast, Rikki Tikki ran to the thorn bush.
Darzee and his wife were there.
And Darzee was singing a triumph at the top of his voice. The news of Nog's death was all over the garden, for the sweeper had thrown his dead body on the rubbish heap. Hooray!
Oh, you stupid tuft of feathers. Is this the time for a song?
Nog is dead, is dead, is dead.
Sang Darzee.
The valiant Rikki Tikki grabbed him by the head and held fast. The big man came with his boomstick, and Nog fell in two pieces. He'll never eat my babies again.
All that's true enough, but where is Nagina?
Let us sing of the great, the red-eyed Rikki Tikki.
And Darzee
filled his throat
and sang.
A sing to your fledglings again. Mother, oh, lift up your head. Evil that plagued us is slain. Death in the garden lies dead.
Okay, that's enough.
Terror that hid in the roses is powerless, flung on the trash heap and dead. Who has delivered us who? Tell me his nest and his name. Rikki, the valiant and true.
Okay, thank you.
Tikki with eyeballs of flame. Rikki-tikki, the ivory fang, the hunter with eyeballs of flame. Give him the thanks of the birds, bowing with tail feathers spread. Praise him in nightingale's words. Nay, I will praise him instead.
Okay, now
here
that...
I will sing you the praise of the bottle-tailed Rikki with eyeballs of red.
Okay, stop. Shoo. If I could get up into your nest, I'd roll your babies out myself. You don't know when to do the right thing at the right time.
But,
you, but, You are safe up there enough in your nest, but it's war down here for me.
Well, Wiki, that's
stop singing a minute, Darcy.
For the great, the beautiful Ricky Ticky's sake, I will stop, said Darcy. What is it, O killer of the terrible Nog?
Where is Nagina for the third time?
No, she's over by the rubbish heap, mourning for Nog. Granny's Ricky Ticky with the white teeth!
Oh, bother my white teeth. Yeah. Have you ever heard where she keeps her eggs?
Uh-huh. Oh, no, in the melon bed on the end nearest the wall where the sun strikes nearly all day. She hid them there weeks ago.
And you never thought it was worthwhile to tell me?
No.
The end nearest the wall, you say?
Mm-hmm, right over by the... Oh, Ricky Ticky, you're not going to eat her eggs?
No. Not exactly.
Phew. No, Darcy.
If you have a grain of sense, you will fly off to the stables and pretend that your wing is broken and let Nagina chase you away to the bush. Okay. I must get down to the melon bed. Uh-huh. And if I went there now, she'd see me.
Darcy was a feather-brained little fellow who could never hold more than one idea in his head at a time.
Darcy knew that Nagina's babies were born in eggs, just like his own, and he didn't think at first that it was fair to kill them.
But his wife was a sensible bird, and she knew that a cobra's eggs meant young cobras later on.
Oh, ew.
So she flew off from the nest and left Darcy to keep the babies warm.
Oh, yes, I will keep the babies nice and warm, and I will sing them to sleep with my song about the death of Nog.
Darcy was very like a man in some ways. Darcy's wife fluttered in front of Nagina by the rubbish heap and cried out, "Oh, my wing is broken! The boy in the house threw a stone at me and broke it!" Then she fluttered more desperately than ever. Nagina lifted up her head
and hissed, "You! You warned Ricky Ticky when I would have killed him! Indeed and truly, you've chosen a bad place to be lame in." And she moved toward Darcy's wife, slipping along across the dust.
"The bully, he broke it with a stone!"
shrieked Darcy's wife. "Well, it may be some consolation to you when you're dead to know that I shall settle accounts with the boy. My husband lies on the rubbish heap this morning, but before night, the boy in the house shall lie very still. What is the use of running away? I am sure to catch you. Little fool, look at me!"
Darcy's wife knew better than to do that.
"Poor bird who looks at a snake's eyes gets so frightened that she cannot move."
Darcy's wife fluttered on, piping sorrowfully and never leaving the ground.
And Nagina quickened her pace.
Ricky Ticky heard them going up the path from the stables, and he raced for the end of the melon bed near the wall. There, in the warm litter about the melons very cunningly hidden, he found 25 eggs, about the size of a bantam's eggs, but with whitish skin instead of shell. I was not a day too soon, for he could see the baby cobras curled up inside the skin, and he knew that the minute they were hatched, they could each kill a man or a mongoose. He bit the tops off the eggs as fast as he could, taking care to crush the young baby cobras, turned over in the litter from time to time to see whether he had missed any. At last, there were only 3 eggs left, and Ricky Ticky began to chuckle to himself when he heard Darcy's wife screaming.
"Ricky Ticky! I led Nagina toward the house and she has gone into the veranda and oh, come quickly! She means killing!"
Ricky Ticky smashed 2 eggs and tumbled backwards down the melon bed with the 3rd egg in his mouth and scuttled over to the veranda as hard as he could put foot to ground. Teddy and his mother and father were there at early breakfast, but Ricky Ticky could see that they were not eating anything.
They sat stone still.
Their faces were white.
Nagina lay coiled up on the matting by Teddy's chair, within easy striking distance of Teddy's bare leg. And she was swaying to and fro, singing a song of triumph.
son of the big man that killed Nog, she hissed.
Stay still. I am not ready yet. Wait a little. Keep very still, all you three. If you move, I strike.
And if you do not move, I strike. Oh, foolish people who killed my Nog!
Sit still, Teddy. You mustn't move. Teddy, keep still.
Turn round, Nagina. Turn and fight!
All in good time, said she without moving her eyes. I will settle my account with you presently. Look at your friends, Rikki Tikki. They are still and white. They are afraid. They dare not move, and if you come a step nearer, I strike.
Look at your eggs in the melon bed near the wall. Go and look, Nagina!
The big snake turned half round and saw the egg on the veranda.
Give it to me, she said.
Rikki Tikki put his paws one on each side of the egg. His eyes were blood red. What price for a snake's egg? For a young cobra? For a young king cobra? For the last time, the last, the very last of your brood. The ants are eating all the others down in the melon.
Nagina spun clear round, forgetting everything for the sake of the one egg.
And Rikki Tikki saw Teddy's father shoot out a big hand.
Catch Teddy by the shoulder and drag him across the little table, safe and out of reach of Nagina.
Tricked, 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 Rick, tick, tick, chuckled Rikki Tikki. The boy is safe, and it was I that caught Nog by the hood last night in the bathroom. He threw me to and fro, but he could not shake me off. He was dead when the big man blew him in two. I did it. Rick, tick, ticky, ticky, chick. Come then, Nagina. Come and fight with me. You shall not be a widow long.
Nagina saw that she had lost her chance of killing Teddy. And the egg lay between Rikki Tikki's paws. Give me the egg, Rikki Tikki. Give me the last of my eggs, and I will go away and never come back, she said,
yes,
lowering her hood.
Yes, you will go away, and you will never come back, for you will go to the rubbish heap with Nog. Fight, widow! The big man has gone for his gun. Fight! And Rikki Tikki was bounding all around Nagina,
keeping just out of reach of her strike.
His little eyes were like hot coals.
Nagina gathered herself together and flung out at him.
Rikki Tikki jumped up and backwards.
Again and again and again she struck.
And each time her head came down with a
whack
on the matting of the veranda.
Nagina gathered herself together like a watch spring.
Then Rikki Tikki danced in circles to get behind her.
Nagina spun round to keep her head to his head so that the rustle of her tail on the matting sounded like dry leaves blown along by the wind.
He had forgotten the egg. It still lay on the veranda. And Nagina came nearer and nearer to it, till at last...
When Rikki Tikki was drawing breath...
She caught it in her mouth, turned to the veranda steps, and flew like an arrow down the path.
With Rikki Tikki behind her!
When the cobra runs for her life, she goes like a whiplash, flicked across a horse's neck.
Rikki Tikki knew that it must catch her, for all the trouble would begin again.
She headed straight for the long grass by the thorn bush, and as he was running away...
Darcy was still singing his foolish little song of triumph.
But Darcy's wife was wiser. She flew off her nest, and Nagina came along, and she flapped her wings about Nagina's head. If Darcy had helped, they might have turned her.
But Nagina only lowered her hood and went on.
Still, the instant's delay brought Rikki Tikki up to her.
And she plunged into the rat hole where she and Nog used to live.
His white teeth were clenched on her tail.
And he went down with her. And very few mongooses, however wise and old they may be, care to follow a cobra into its hole. The grass by the mouth of the hole stopped waving.
It is all over with Rikki Tikki. We must sing his death song. Oh, the valiant Rikki Tikki is dead, for Nagina shall surely kill him underground. And so Darcy sang a very mournful song, which he made up on the spur of the minute. And just as it got to the most touching part,
the grass quivered again, huh? And Rikki Tikki, covered with dirt, dragged himself out of the hole, leg by leg, licking his whiskers.
Darcy stopped singing with a little shout. Woohoo!
Ricky shook some of the dust out of his fur and...
Choo! Sneezed. It's all over. The widow will never come out again. And I will go back to the house. Oh, tell the garden, Darcy. Tell the garden that Nagina is dead.
Hooray! Ding dong talk! Nag is dead! Dong talk! Nagina is dead! And that sent all the little birdies in the garden singing.
When Ricky got to the house...
Teddy!
And Teddy's mother. She still looked very white, for she had been fainting.
And Teddy's father came in and almost cried over him. And that night he ate all that was given him till he could eat no more.
And went to sleep on Teddy's shoulder.
Where Teddy's mother saw him when she came to look late at night. He saved Teddy's life. Why, he saved all our lives.
What are you bothering for? All these cobras are dead. And if they weren't, I'm here. Ricky Ticky had a right to be proud of himself, but he did not grow too proud. And he kept that garden as a mongoose should keep it. With tooth and jump and spring and bite. Till never a cobra showed its head inside the walls.
You have been listening to a live performance of Chatterbox Audio Theater's production of Ricky Ticky Tavi by Rudyard Kipling, featuring Jerry Dye as Ricky, Kel Christie as Nagina, Marcus Brown as Nog and Darzi, Lyric Peters as Darzi's wife and Teddy, Robert Arnold as the Big Man, Ashley Bug Brown as the Big Man's wife and curate, and Elisa Moran as Chuchundra. Music written and performed by Gene Simmons. Produced by Andrew Sullivan. Adapted and directed by Marcus Brown. This is your announcer, Tom Badgett. Chatterbox Audio Theater is a nonprofit, web-based community theater that advances the exchange of ideas by channeling creativity and artistic collaboration into recorded audio works that enlighten, entertain, and inspire. Download all of our shows free at www.chatterboxtheater.org.